Hey, good morning, Rose Hill. I hope you are having a great morning of worship together, being blessed by the ministry and music of David Harsh. It's just my great honor and joy to introduce to you now Reverend Dr. James D. Berkeley. Jim, as most people call him, is a fantastic guy. He has been a boss, a mentor, and a friend to me, a colleague in ministry. I have been so blessed to know him for the last 20 years or so. And now you'll be blessed by his preaching this morning as he brings God's word to you. And he's a Husky, so you know it's going to be good, right? Let's give a warm Rose Hill welcome to Jim as he comes to preach God's word to us today.
Well, it's very good to be here with you this morning. I've had such affection for Brian and the work that he's doing here. And I can even remember back a couple or three pastors ago when you had Harlow Willard as your pastor here. How many of you were here with Harlow? Yeah, great. I got the real privilege of working with him for a couple or three years in Bellevue. And it's just a wonderful guy. The type of person he was is... I had an operation on my back a while back, quite a ways back now, and I was in the hospital overnight or a couple nights, and in the morning, Harlow appeared to do a pastoral call on me, and it was really nice, and we had a good time, and it's only later that I learned that he had spent the night in the hospital as well, but then he got up and did his pastoral calling. What an amazing guy. What a guy. Well, I'd like to read a couple of passages of Scripture for you today. The first is Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary. They bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Then from the Old Testament, Psalm 95, verses 1 through 6. "Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the flock under his care." Let's pray. Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be acceptable unto you. Lord, may we hear and understand your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, because the decorations are going to be coming down today and all, we are getting through Christmas period, although it goes up till Epiphany. We're going to head into Epiphany, which is the time when we remember that the Magi came to visit Jesus. That'd be January 6th. The Magi were in the east, and they were searching the night sky to see what they might discern about the future for themselves. And it must have been difficult for those Magi who came to worship Jesus at his birth. It wasn't an easy journey. As we look at their midwinter march here, we'll see the sign that grabbed their attention. We'll search their search that brought them hundreds of miles to Bethlehem, and then the significance of their journey. To properly understand the sign, we need to understand Magi in general. Magi were a class of men not unlike the Jewish priests, although for a different religion. But they were from the Persian region to the east, and they practiced an entirely different religion than the Jews. But Magi performed priestly functions in their religion. They practiced magical arts. They studied the stars. And they enjoyed the status of learned, respected men. Rich and powerful. Now, you probably know the answer to this question, but I'll ask it. How many Magi were there who visited Bethlehem? Well, if you answered three, you would answer the normal answer for that. But the truth is, it's only a guess. Tradition tells us it's three, but Scripture doesn't. We don't know how many there were. Maybe there's a whole army of them. Three sounds more likely, though. We guess that there were three of them because there were three gifts that they gave: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, the carol that we sing, we talk about, "We three kings of Orient are." Well, there's no evidence, biblical evidence, that they were kings. They were magi. They've even been given names traditionally: Caspar, Melchior, and Balthazar. But in truth, we know next to nothing about these visitors. At the time, however, there was widespread belief that something unusual was going to take place in little backwater Judea. History tells us about this. Commentator William Barclay relates that even Roman historians knew that a king was expected. A historian at the time, Suetonius, wrote, "There had spread over all the Orient an old and established belief that it was fated at this time for men coming from Judea to rule the world." That's not biblical. That's extra-biblical that confirmation comes. Tacitus, another Roman historian of the age, wrote, "There was a firm persuasion that at this very time the East was to grow powerful, and rulers coming from Judea were to acquire universal empire." A Jewish historian from that era, a guy named Josephus, explained the Jewish belief about that time, one from their country would become governor of the habitable earth. That's what was expected at that point. Now, there are contemporary accounts of Magi in Rome visiting Nero, in Athens sacrificing to the memory of Plato. Magi took such trips to kings and rulers, and now Judah was to be their destination, little Bethlehem. So we can picture the Magi in what is now Iran piecing together speculation that a great ruler would come from Judah. And they were searching their scrolls, and they were calculating the courses of stars at nighttime, scanning the sky, and generally looking ahead to a glorious moment for something to break, for something to give them a clue as to what was to come. And upon this scene appeared an unusual heavenly sign. We don't know exactly what it was. Maybe it was a nova or a comet or a convergence of two planets. Something highly irregular, something that would startle and grab their attention, these men that were used to looking at the sky. We know that near that date, Halley's Comet swept through the sky. A couple of years later, Saturn and Jupiter appeared together in bright radiance, an unusual thing to see. A little later, Messeri Sirius, the dog star, it rose just at sunrise in an extraordinarily brilliant way. It could be that any of these phenomena was what the sign that the Magi sought. So whatever the Star of Bethlehem was, though, that sign roused the Magi. Wow, this is it. This is it. Time has come. Once in a lifetime. No, actually, once in the history of the world, such an opportunity arises. And so the Magi gathered together provisions for the trip and got costly gifts to give to the baby. And off they went to the west. Now, in focusing on the sign, we might overlook the search, but the search was really something. The Magi's journey was like from here to Butte, Montana. Can you imagine walking that in primitive conditions? Can you imagine riding a camel that far? Butte, Montana. Travel in those days was dangerous. It was difficult. You know, there weren't Motel 6s along the road. You aren't going to find that. While they're traveling, they would be in constant danger of a highway robbery, maybe even death. Remember when Jesus talks about the Good Samaritan? The guy was on the highway, on the road, main road from Jericho to Jerusalem, and he was beaten up and left for dead by highwaymen. Except for in Roman lands, even the major roads were not much more than meandering paths. Just little light trails that were lightly traveled. They were lacking in amenities. Now, we don't know that the Magi traveled by camels, Christmas cards notwithstanding, but that would be a good guess, because given the Magi's station in life and the distance they needed to travel, going by camel would make good sense. So there were rivers and badlands, there were mountains and deserts to cross, and this even before they got to Jerusalem. But when they got to Jerusalem, they found a worse obstacle, and that was an insanely jealous king, Herod, who thought himself to be the king of the Jews and didn't take really very happily to the sound of some king being born for the Jews. That murderous old man, Herod, wanted to see these Magi, and he wanted to do it now. And once he got them before him, he extracted from them the date of the rising of the star, which would be the time that the child was born, and that would set for him when that child was born. But they got from Herod the correct place to look for him, in Bethlehem. The Magi were fortunate to escape Herod's homicidal plans and not become part of them. They went home a different way, if you remember. But they did go to Bethlehem. And on their way, they again saw the star, which made them happy. It was still reminding them that their epic journey was about to be fulfilled at this point. Thus, they went on to the house where they saw Mary and then they saw Jesus. Now, apparently, some time had passed since Jesus' birth. You have to remember, they got from Iran to what's now Israel, and that would have taken time. And Jesus, by this point, was in a house and not in the stable. And there in the house, the Magi found their king. So the sign had appeared. The search was completed. Now came the significance of the visit. The narrative is simple. Going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. That's a pretty easy plan. This speaks much more than what these simple words tell us at first. We learn that the Magi's quest wasn't something for themselves. You know, a way to fulfill yourself or to finally become important or something like that. It wasn't for themselves. They came with the sole purpose of worshiping this newborn king. They didn't first ask questions about astrology. They didn't get Mary's autograph. They didn't buy souvenirs or take selfies. No. They instinctively fell down on their knees to worship Jesus. A response to who it was they were seeking. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, this little baby was that. And so they worshiped. That's what is due to someone like Jesus. Then they gave Jesus gifts. For one, dared not approach a monarch without costly and sizable gifts in hand. And the Magi brought gold, the most precious gift that could be given, a kingly gift, a rich gift, a gift that denoted the rank of the recipient. They also brought frankincense, a perfuming substance every good priest needed for burnt offerings. It was something that someone would give a priestly leader. Gold for a king, frankincense for a priest. The third gift was myrrh. Myrrh is a gum-like resin that comes from a shrub-like tree in that area. Myrrh was a large part of the anointing oil that was used in the Jewish temple. Myrrh was also used, interestingly enough, as an embalming spice. You put myrrh in with the body. Now that's an odd birth gift to give to a baby. The spice that would be used to embalm him. But once we understand the reason for Christ's birth, it makes more sense. Yes, even at his birth, as a tiny, tender baby, Jesus was born to die for us. And that myrrh as a gift reminds us of that. Even at birth, he was given a burial spice by the Magi that had come to give great gifts to the king, the baby Jesus. So the story, it turns out to have great significance in far-reaching ways. It's not just a travel log for Magi. The Magi are like archetypes for all of us. We're all in life, we're searching, we're trying to piece life together. How does it work? What's important? Where do I fit in? And the Magi were like that too. Scanning the horizon, and we're like that, looking at what's to come. Magi spent their life searching for something greater than themselves. They scoured life, trying to find meaning. They were aching to find life's purpose. And when God placed the glorious star in the sky, they were prepared to leap at the opportunity and make the arduous trip to Bethlehem. And when they encountered their Lord there, they fell down to worship him and gave him gifts. These wise men discovered life's meaning. So will our response be like the Magi's? Are we looking beyond ourselves? Are we seeking for 2019 expectations greater than another Super Bowl win or a trip to a warmer climate for a while? Is our search for the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings? And would we really know him if we found him? And what's more, if we search, do we search for Jesus to worship him or to add to our self-gratification? I wonder what I can get from the guy. Do we plan to give something of ourselves to him? Something big, something fitting a king? Or do we only seek Jesus for what we want him to give us? Boy, here's an important guy. I bet I could get a lot from him. The Magi sought Jesus in order to fall on their knees and worship him. Shouldn't we, who have every cultural reason and benefit for finding him, we who are steeped in Christian images, we who see Jesus' goodness all around us all the time, shouldn't we seek Jesus to give of ourselves to him rather than to figure out what we can get from him? The Magi teach us that the purpose of life is to seek our King and then worship him and give him all that we have. Now that's a quest worthy of our efforts for 2019. And it actually will be the glorious task that fulfills our eternity once we're with God. Back in the 17th century, a man named Francis Xavier wrote a prayer that could just as well be the Magi's prayer. And it could be ours too as well. Let me read it for you. Xavier wrote, "My God, I love thee, not because I hope for heaven thereby, nor yet because who love thee not must die eternally. Thou, O my Jesus, thou didst me upon the cross embrace, and for me didst bear the nails and spear and manifold disgrace. Why then, why, O blessed Jesus Christ, would I not love thee well? Not for the hope of winning heaven or of escaping hell, not for the hope of gaining aught, not seeking reward, but as thyself hast loved me, O everlasting Lord, even so I love thee, and I will love, and in thy praises will sing, solely because thou art my God and my eternal King." Would that this would be our prayer as well. Let's pray. Father, something as simple as a story of people coming to worship a new king can just be a nice thought. Could be the focus of a Christmas carol or something like that. But Lord, we want it to be so much more. We want it to be a way that starts us remembering who you are, why you came, and what you need from us, our love, our devotion, our obedience. So, Father, may we be like the Magi and open our gifts to you and worship you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.